our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 241, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And my song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. And what follows, Psalter 241, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in 2 Chronicles 6, the verses 12 through 21. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Chronicles 6, the verses 12 through 21. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. And now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as thou wast walked before me. And now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant and to a supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Jenny Bazoya, who hopes to turn 79 in the day of tomorrow. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou wast granted unto us and our children another Lord's Day, the last Lord's Day of this year, that has nearly run its course. Then thou hast yet made a difference where there is no difference, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In this past week, we have stood with the mourning family on the cemetery, and then by renewal, then we commend them unto thee with all other mourning ones in our midst, with the large empty places which at times even seemed to become emptier. May thou fill it with thy presence, and may out of that morning another morning be born, and that is a morning because of our sins, and a morning because of that separation, of that distance, which man can never bridge over themselves. Then in the past week, by renewal, in the midst of the trials and the difficulties of life, then thou hast showered us and our families with many a blessing from heaven. And may there be those times that we may be given to see it, that we may be given to be humbled thereunder, and a tongue to praise thee, and also with impressions, that we have no continuing city here, and to that end may it also be thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to repentance and a need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we have commemorated by renewal in the week gone by. And to that end, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for the work and the power of thy Holy Spirit, a virtue, the meritorial work of thy dear Son, that thou may work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old on this last Lord's Day of this year. And may the profound need be felt of that one thing needful, a Lord, where it is not felt, wilt thou grant by thy Spirit that it may be felt indeed by thy power, that the false rest may be taken away, and then there shall be a crying unto thee, but also for seeking souls, the need to be brought to that precious Savior for thy children, that they may be led further and deeper into the wonderful things of the Lord, the mysteries of salvation. And to that end we humbly ask thee, and may both the audible gospel but also the visible gospel be used by thy Spirit to that end. And then we commend these parents unto thee. Wilt thou grant humble and broken hearts, where thou hast remembered, thou hast been mindful of them, thou hast blessed them with such a precious little gift, and that for the first time in married life, but also by renewal, and now they may be privileged in this hour to present their little children before thee in a special way, and may it be made special for them by the work of thy Spirit, that they may be given to see matters which they have never seen before, the one thing needful bound upon the heart, where they may be privileged to present their children before thee, to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, and thy thrice holy name upon their little foreheads, to become a God-bearer. Oh, it declares the condition, the state of our children unclean, but also the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, may be proclaimed so richly, and to that end may it please thee to work from generation to generation and do for those little children what is signified in the sacrament, and that is to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou remember and help these parents with their oath? Thou knowest how they have come up to thy house. May they need thy help. May they have cried unto thee. And then it is so needful, and what a blessing when it may be, as we read in thy holy word, those that have brought their children to Jesus with the desire that he would lay his hands upon them, bless them, and pray over them. Ah, Lord, the first birth, that is a great wonder, but also these children, they need that second birth by thy free and sovereign grace. It is a great privilege when we may be under the external administration of the covenant, but it is so needful that our names are written in the book of the Lamb. We commend unto thee the grandparents. May they have also come up with a prayer that thou may be mindful of their seed. Remember them with their increased blessing, their increased responsibility. We commend unto thee all the families that are expecting a child. Wilt thou graciously watch over mother and the unborn to be gladdened in due time? We also remember prodigal sons and daughters, for parents, for grandparents, that at times sit in thy house with bleeding hearts, where their children have left for the world or a deceitful religion. Wilt thou keep us and our dear children under the truth, and may by thy Spirit thy truth set us free. We commend unto thee all the needs, the temporal needs, in the midst of the congregation. Remember all the elderly ones, all the sick and afflicted ones, those under the physician's care in special ways, with all the cares, with all the fears. Then we may humbly ask thee that the means may be blessed, the calling sanctified. Remember the handicapped ones. Remember the crosses and the burdens. Wilt thou remember in this day also our branch? Wilt thou help the leaders in this day? And may thy word richly be blessed to the hearts of young and old. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help with the administration of word and sacrament. May thy word go forth with power divine, dwell richly amongst us, as a Solomon has prayed with the dedication of the temple, where thou wast placed thy glorious name, where thou wast promised thy special presence, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And, Lord, with an impression that we are but a company of poor sinners, we have no rights, we have forfeited and sinned everything away, but thou declarest yet there is mercy. Look so down upon us in thy mercy, We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. We shall now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, We must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, as so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2 verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith, and therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, and thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that he may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with the comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without tear before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. We now ask the parents to arise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized? Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation? Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power? What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation, Mr. Jared the Cook, Mrs. the Cook, Mr. Nathan the Cook, Mrs. the Cook, Mr. Brendan Vanessen, and Mrs. Vanessen? Fathers and mothers, then in this morning hour, then you have special reasons to be humbled under the Lord's goodness. Where the Lord has blessed you as parents, two for the first time, one by renewal, with the birth of a little child, and what a wonder that is, the psalmist in Psalm 139 verse 14 has declared, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And I hope, parents, there may be those times that you may be given to see the Lord's work, and that your thoughts may be drawn upward, and that you may be humbled under all his mercies and under all his goodness, but also with a profound impression that your little child has both a body and a soul, begun its journey to eternity, shall never cease to exist. And how good and how low that great, majestic God who has his throne in the heavens, who was so holy, who can have no communion with sin nor sinners, that in this morning he is willing to put his thrice holy name upon the foreheads of your little children, where they may become God-bearers. And now the sacrament, the water, we have heard it, and Job has said it is so. In Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? When parents for the first time receive a child and they hold their little child so sweet, we would say, looking so innocent, then maybe those parents sometimes question, is my little child now really a sinner? But a little older, and then we find they have their own will, even a perverse will, maybe seeing the image of father and mother, that they are indeed clean. The water testifies that it is so. But parents, the water speaks of greater, richer things. It points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he has shed for his people, that his chosen church may be saved. And may the prayers, parents, may you be given to ask great things of that great God, that he may do for you as parents, for your children, the riches declared in the sacrament, that you may be saved by the work of a triune God. And now it has pleased the Lord to entrust this little child, this particular little child, unto you as parents, that you may raise that child for the Lord. No, we cannot convert them. That is the work of the Lord. But the Lord has appointed the means of grace to that end, and now you have become stewards, I hope parents, for many years. But we have also experienced that children do not become so old, and therefore the necessity that you may be diligent, looking up unto the Lord, accompanied by a godly example, and begging the Lord that the Lord may remember your family circles with the favor that he bears unto his people. Parents, you may arise. Sit down. Grandparents, also a special moment when you may be given to witness that your seed may receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, an increased blessing, and an increased responsibility. And then it is needful, and what a privilege, and what a blessing it is, when there are grandparents exercised, as we read in Luke 2, when the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to the temple, when he was 40 days old, it was not a sacrament. And then it is specifically mentioned of a Simeon, it is true. Does not say how old he was. General thought is that he was a little older. He was old in grace. And we read of that Simeon just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. It's a great blessing and privilege. Also, when the sacrament may be administered, that there are such in our midst, when there may be grandparents. Oh, as that old Anna, that day and night with fastings and prayer, busy with the things of the Lord, and where she was also given to behold the Christ child. Congregation, then on the last Lord's Day of this year, then the sacrament of holy baptism may be administered. And then it is proper, fitting, and right that also on this last Lord's Day that we are given to meditate upon our baptism. Do we reflect the Lord's word and the things of the Lord? Are we a separate people? And for fathers and mothers, then by renewal, you have heard what you have promised. Are you doing your utmost, oh fathers and mothers, in the busyness of life? Do take the time to spend with your children around God's word, speaking, prayer, and singing. Because there are many fathers and mothers that can testify that their children have grown up so quickly. When they were younger, it seems sometime not enough time, and then before we know it, then they are older. And then to examine our lives with what we have heard out of the form, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. Then we have much to pray over. Then with the sacrament of holy baptism may be declared, congregation. Past week we have commemorated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the stable of Bethlehem, and his name has been called Jesus because he has come to save his people from their sins. And now the sacrament of baptism, the water that points us to how Jesus has become the Savior for sinners, that he was willing to humble himself so low, what unfathomable love, and that he was willing to suffer and to die, and that he has shed his precious blood, but he is risen, and now he is gathering, instructing, encouraging, and comforting his church. And now that water points to that precious blood which needs to be applied. Think of the Passover. The lamb needed not only to be killed, but the blood needed to be applied to the doorpost. And then we read in Exodus 12, verse 13, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. May it please the Spirit to grant it for God's people. Can be a people that have many riddles, a people that is burdened with their sins also. When we come closer to the end of another year, and no solution, where the debt is becoming greater, may it please the God of all grace by His Spirit to grant eyes of faith when that water may be sprinkled, and then to be given to look by faith upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then such a soul shall be enabled to join in a special way with that thanksgiving prayer. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord grant it for His glory, and then it shall indeed be a special and an unforgettable last Lord's Day. The Lord grant it. While the children are being brought in, we ask the congregation to sing of Psalter 425, the fourth stanza, "Ye seed from Abraham descended, to whom His favors were extended, and Jacob's children, whom the Lord has chosen, hearken to His word," and what follows. 425, stanza 4. Thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Peyton Joanna, I baptize thee In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Austin John, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We now ask the congregation to arise and to sing of Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Close with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Psalter 367, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Let the king behold thy favor for thy servant David's sake, unto whom a sacred promise, sure and faithful, thou didst make. And what follows, Psalter 367, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 2 Chronicles 6, and thereof the verses 14 and 17. And then we read in verse 14, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. And verse 17, Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. Our text words speak of no God like unto thee, which keepeth covenant. With three thoughts. In the first place, a covenant of unfathomable mercy. Secondly, a covenant of conditional mercy. And in the third place, a covenant to be pleaded upon. No God like unto thee, which keepeth covenant, and then first, a covenant of unfathomable mercy. Beloved congregation, the circumstances of this prayer of Solomon, they are written in chapter 5, and also the first verses of chapter 6. It was at the time that Solomon was given to build a beautiful temple unto the Lord. And in these chapters, it is the dedication of the temple accompanied with sacrifices and with prayer. It took Solomon, with all the labors, 7 years to build the temple. It was a beautiful temple, much of gold, and yet that temple that cannot be compared to parents what the Lord has given in 9 months. A little child conceived and formed in the womb, and that in due time it may see the light of this world. What a wonderful creation that a little child is. And now in our chapter, then we have special exercises concerning the temple, and it is a privilege when there may be special exercises concerning our children and concerning our seed. And then we read that Israel was assembled as we are this morning in God's house. And then the ark was brought up, it received its place. So in this morning there may be the baptism of fount where the riches of God's mercy are declared. And then further, then we read in chapter 5 verse 6 that they sacrificed sheep and oxen without number, and that they were given to praise the Lord. Then fathers and mothers, then we can draw many lines to our history in these chapters Oh, then in this morning may it have been that you have, as it were, dedicated your little child unto the Lord, accompanied with prayers that the Lord may magnify his grace, accompanied with sacrifices, because the true religion, that is a religion with sacrifices. If we do have a religion without sacrifices, it is not the religion of the Bible. And then Solomon was given to pray 28 verses, the verses 14 and 15 being the address. And then Solomon began, we have heard it, boys and girls, he has stood on a scaffolding on a raised platform that also the boys and girls could perhaps see him. And then he has begun his prayer with, O Lord God of Israel. We find that expression in verses 14, 16, and 17. Have there also been a few oaths, parents, in your life of astonishment, exclamation, thankfulness, and that you were given to say, Ach, Lord, how good thou hast been, a wonder-doing God, to give unto us as parents this little child, that we may be stewards. And then we read, O Lord God of Israel, Jehovah, the everlasting faithful God, the God of Israel, the covenant God. And then Solomon has continued, there is no God like thee. Must not misunderstand it, that Solomon in that prayer was saying that there were other gods. Of course, there are many whom nations have made gods, but we know that there's only one true living God which dwelleth in the heavens. And then with the finishing of the temple, with the bringing of sacrifices, then Solomon was given to exclaim, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like unto thee. And concerning that expression, then it is a very wide expression. No God like unto thee. When we consider the Lord's attributes, communicable, incommunicable, when we consider his goodness, his power, wisdom, with the creation of a little child, with body and soul, when we consider the Lord's justice, Habakkuk 2 verse 3, 13, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and thou canst not look on iniquity. No God like unto thee, that is so patient and so long-suffering with us and our children as sinners upon the earth. And no God like unto thee in his unfathomable mercy. In his Trinity, we have commemorated by renewal the glorious birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. No God like unto thee, that has given his own Son, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. And no God like unto thee, that is granted unto the children of men his inspired word, where it may be told our creation, our fall, but also the mother promised the way to be saved by a triune God. Oh, then there is no God like unto thee in creation and providence, no God like unto thee that is instituted two sacraments, and one of them in the midst of the church, that great majestic God, that he is willing to put his thrice holy name upon the foreheads of sinful children, that they become God bearers. Oh, then Solomon surely had reasons to exclaim when the temple was finished, the Lord's promises concerning the temple, his dwelling place, it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. How that the Lord has fulfilled his promise to David, that his son would sit upon his throne. And then Solomon had reasons to exclaim, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like unto thee. But what reasons we have to do the same also on the last Lord's Day of this year that has nearly run its course, and there is mourning, there are trials, sickness, profound concerns, many worries. Nevertheless, no God like thee, that for another year in his providence, that he has cared, that he has spared, that he has provided, and that he has protected, then we also have many reasons to say with a Solomon, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like unto thee. Have there been special times in this year that has taken place, that we have received a broken, a contrite heart, small and humbled under the Lord's goodness, and an oppression of our sinnership, thoughts, words, and deeds, sins of commission, sins of omission, no God like unto thee, that has made that covenant of grace already in the never-begun eternity concerning the salvation of the church. But our text also speaks of a covenant of conditional mercy, because we read, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. How are we now to understand that expression? Because we know this clearly written in God's word, that eternal covenant of grace, which was made in the never-begun eternity, revealed and executed in the time that lieth so sure, unchangeable, can never be altered, yea, and the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, that lieth so sure in the work of a triune God, the election of the Father, the redemption of the Son, and the application of the Holy Spirit, and concerning that church that is written, whose names are written in the book of the Lamb, they shall be gathered, they shall be preserved. And has Christ not said in John 10, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hands. Thus that covenant of grace that is unchangeable, that lieth sure, and The Lord is still gathering a church. But in our text we do read that the Lord showeth mercy, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. How are we now to explain it? That covenant of grace, that lie is so sure. Then concerning that covenant of grace, then there is also an external administration. As so it was in the Old Testament, and so it is in the New Testament, and under that external administration of grace, there the Lord has promised to dwell richly, to bless the means of grace for the ingathering and for the instruction of the church. And now in the churches there has come much confusion concerning that external administration of the covenant. There are churches that tell the people that for children born under that external administration, like the children of Israel, then we must presume that they are all regenerated. And the people lull to sleep, not spoken of the necessity of that new birth, and so great multitudes are deceived. Others, telling that they are in the covenant, and as long as they do not leave the church, that they do not have to worry, then it is all well, but not stress the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit. There are others that tell the people, on condition of faith and obedience, and to that end, they make the covenant of grace a veiled covenant of works, because in that covenant of grace there are no conditions for the sinner to fulfill. Still their responsibility, then it would be forever lost. All the conditions of the covenant of grace have been fulfilled in Christ. He has merited those precious benefits for his church, which he demands. Thus in the church, many different shades of Arminianism, the Remonstrants, Pelagianism, the leaven of the Roman Catholic Church, that man does something and God does something even, that man is the first cause of their salvation, and that was the strife at the Synod of Dort. But now concerning that external administration of the covenant, then it is clear we have the examples in the Old and New Testament that also under that administration of the covenant that there were the unconverted. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5, in that chapter we read of the blessings, and let us never minimize that, to be under the external administration and to have a baptized forehead. Believe we do not think enough of it. The privilege and the blessing to be under the truth, the means of grace, under the prayers and the admonition of the church, under that external administration where the Lord has promised in a special way to gather and to instruct this church. Oh, Balaam even had an impression thereof when he stood on that high hill and he saw the tabernacle with the encampment in Numbers 24, verse 5. How goodly are thy tabernacles, thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. And to that end, when we consider that covenant of grace and external administration, then there can be a breaking. We read that in different places. In Genesis 17, verse 4, when parents did not circumcise their little boys, then we read, he hath broken my covenant. In Leviticus 26, verse 15, and if ye despise my statutes, or in your soul abhor my judgments, so ye will not do my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. And in Jeremiah 31, verse 32, which covenant which they break, then it is clear, because that covenant of grace that can never be broken, that lie is sure. But that breaking of the covenant that refers to the external administration of the people walking in the Lord's ways. We have heard the second commandment, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Then we can all understand that we cannot interpret those words, that if people first loves the Lord and then the Lord remembers his covenant. No. To that end, necessary to compare scripture with scripture. Think of Psalm 103, the verses 17 and 18. That the mercy of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, unto such as keep his commandments, keep his covenant, and remember his commandments to do them. Think of the solemn admonishments to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Then I read concerning the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2, verse 5, the solemn command to repent, or the candlestick shall be removed. Thus then we feel hear our calling, congregation, to stay with the truth that God's word has a large place in our family circles. Our third thought, a covenant to be pleaded upon. Verse 17. Now then, O Lord God of Israel. Also a fitting word after baptism. Now then, Lord, my child has been baptized, become a God-bearer, cannot convert my child. Does the work of grace. But the prayer, now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. We read in the verses 14 through 22, thy servant or servants, six times. That gives freedom at the throne of grace, that we can say, Lord, I am not a father and mother as he ought to be, but thou knowest my desire, thy servant, thy handmaiden, let thy word be verified, that thou may grant by thy free and sovereign grace what is signified in baptism and then the bewonderment in verse 18. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? How much less this child which thou hast entrusted unto us as parents? Lord, thou art so great and majestic, and yet concerning these things, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, we read that the true people of God, that they become temples of the Holy Ghost. It was a wonder for Solomon that the Lord God of Israel would be pleased to dwell in a special way in the temple. Becomes a greater wonder for a sinner. Virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Ghost takes up habitation in the heart, in their hearts. And then we read further, hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servants and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, that's verse 21, but also verse 20, upon the place where thou wast said that thou wouldest put thy name there. The name in and upon the temple, the name upon the foreheads of our little children. And then further in verse 21, before Solomon is given to relate many particulars, then at the end, hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. It's what Solomon needed. It's what we need. That's what our children need. And that forgiveness is richly proclaimed in the sacrament of holy baptism. Who is like unto thee? Moses has already sung those words after they have crossed through the Red Sea in Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who was like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And for the church, who may have a beginning here below, to sing those praises, who was like unto thee, then we read of wonderful things in Revelation 15. That they shall sing the same words, they shall have harps, and then in Revelation 15, verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are all thy ways, thou King of saints. And then in verse 4, Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? May we and our children, by God's free and sovereign grace, be included among them. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, then as Solomon has exclaimed, who was like unto thee? And then on this last Lord's Day of this year, then thou granteth many reasons to exclaim the same. And thou requires it not only with our lips, but with our hearts. Ah, Lord, then in this morning hour, then thou wast also given reasons to these parents to exclaim, who was like unto thee? May that continue when they may return to their homes. And then we have heard of a Solomon that it was accompanied with fervent prayer. Lord, do grant a prayer for one another. Work lovingly, mightily by thy Spirit in the hearts of us and our children on this last Lord's Day. Wilt thou keep us this day? Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 415, the stanzas 5 and 7. All the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth and mercies pure unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony sure. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. At the male members' meeting held December 19, the following office bearers were chosen for elder: Mr. Richard Allen the Cock and Mr. John Liefting. For deacon, Mr. Bernard James Vandenberg and Mr. Christian Vossebelt. Mr. John Liefting did not have the freedom to accept his office. The others have accepted their respective offices. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory before January 3. Installation of office bearers is scheduled for next Sunday, January 5. There will be a New Year's Eve service on Tuesday evening, December 31. At 7 p.m. and a New Year's Day service on Wednesday, January 1 at 10 a.m. and the banner of truth is at the exit. Psalter 415, the stanzas 5 and 7. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.